And I'm Matt.
We don't give a toss about Britney, Whitney, or Shitney.
Let's go inside.
Welcome to Hans Island Podcast number 26, coming to you live this week from... Hang on, how can a podcast be live? I'm recording this, and then I'm going to save it to my hard disk, and then upload it to a server on the internet somewhere, and then you are going to listen to it. So, it can't be live. But somehow, I know that that is exactly what is going to happen. Can I tell the future? Well, in this instance, I think I can. Because I'll be recording this, and if you are listening to it, then what I predicted just before must have come true in the future. Hence, I can tell the future before it happens. So, well, this podcast is obviously going to be about fringe science things like time travel, so let me start again. Welcome to podcast number 26, which is brought to you this week by the letter T for time travel, or Z for Zeitreisen, if you want to hit any gun.
I listen to Hans Island podcasts.
So, the last couple of weeks I've been doing all sorts of things. The last couple of weeks since the last podcast kind of thing. Or maybe since the next podcast. Ooh, time travel. Hey. Anyway, I've been kept very, very, very busy. I have made a list as long as a Tesla coil of things that I want to talk about. And with any luck, I'll be able to get through it all in this relatively short podcast. Now, a few things to get out of the way first. I've got a lot of stuff going on at work just now, and although I want to be all groovy and alternative and podcast all the time, I've got heaps and heaps of stuff to do. Podcasting isn't at the top of the list, unfortunately. It would be if I was immensely rich or if I just didn't have a job, but anyway... as you can see on the website, last podcast was not very well described, and there was only one link. Pretty bad going. I could have spent a bit more time on that. Anyway, hopefully this time I'll be able to provide everyone with the usual selection of links to the fascinating stuff on this podcast, so you can read up on it yourselves, and most probably end up knowing more about it than me. Now, hang on a minute, that isn't too hard, so don't go giving yourself a Nobel Prize just yet. Right, where was I? Yeah, making excuses for not having enough time in the day to podcast.
Oh, young Jedi, it's 8:30.
Shut the hell up, Yoda. Oh, hang on. If it's 8:30 when you are actually listening to this podcast, then that is a hell of a coincidence. That's another fringe science kind of thing, isn't it? Yeah. So let's actually get started on this whole fringe science thing. Last podcast, or maybe it was the one before that, or maybe it's the one that I haven't done yet. Shut up, Robert. Right, back on track. At some stage on a different podcast altogether, not this one, I was talking about the Joe Cell and Orgon Energy, right? Now, I've got two bits of phenomenally interesting information on that subject. First, however, I'd like to present a little new thing that I'm going to be doing. Which is a blog kind of thing, just a wee short segment, but mostly because I don't have as much time as I'd like to do stuff like podcasting, and secondly because everyone keeps emailing me with fantastically interesting stuff that just consumes my time reading about it, and it would be much, much better if you would just tell a joke, make a fart noise, or tell a wee story anonymously on the audio feed. Anyways, press the pink button on the website, goddammit. Yeah. So, I'm going to do a little blog thing every podcast because it's easier to sit and talk to a microphone when stuff pops into my head. So, before we dive into Joe Cells, Orgon Energy, and other stuff, here it is. See what you think. A Little Blog by Robert. So, what have I been doing this week? Well, not this week. Last week, actually, I was out traveling with my job. I have to do a wee bit of traveling, so I was in England, of all places. Well, I mean, where else can you go? You've got like Scotland, and then you can go to England, really, or Norway, or Denmark, really, which is just over the North Sea. But anyway, I was in England, and I got into a taxi because sometimes you have to take taxis, especially if you're not hiring a car. I refuse to hire a car because it's really annoys me. Anyway, so I got into a taxi, and there's this 7-foot-tall, clean-shaven with lots of tattoos. There's nothing against tattoos, etc. Man sitting there, and he looked like a nice kind of chap, etc. And we were driving along, and like 30 seconds into the journey, he says, "So, did you watch the football then?" And I could just see, and hearing his voice as well, I could see that this wasn't actually about football, really, was it? It was, he was feeling quite aggressive about all sorts of stuff. So, I kind of headed him off at the pass and said, "I'm Danish." Basically, and I could see the, it started computing in his head. "Ooh, I have no frame of reference," and all the kind of color drained from him, his face, and "I live in Scotland," I said as well. And that kind of set the tone. So double trouble there. So we sat in silence for a quarter of an hour, and then I left no tip. And that was kind of it. Now, that's so typical, isn't it? That really is typical. You kind of, people merge into these stereotypes. But the positive thing about, well, not positive, but what I wanted to say about this is that's the cool thing about being Danish and being abroad. Being a Danish person abroad, it's quite groovy, that, because you can. No one actually knows what a Danish person is. You know what they? Oh, is it Vikings? No, damn, that's the Norwegians. What is it? Oh, bacon. That's what they do. Bacon. Did they eat bacon? No, I just think they produce bacon. God damn it. Oh, and Lego. That's it. And Bang & Olufsen. That's about it. And people don't actually have a frame of reference for how people in Denmark are. So, and that always takes people on the back foot. So, excellent. It's really good stuff to be Danish and being abroad. And also you can get all the stuff, that you want to if you're Danish from abroad. You know, when you go somewhere, like if British people go to Australia, they want Marmite. And if Australian people go to Britain to live, then they want their Vegemite. And I don't know, you know, if Texans go to Britain to live, they need machine guns or whatever it is, you know. And in Denmark, you can, when, if you're Danish, you can go and get your rest of the lot, and you can make your crap hot dogs and stuff like that, even when you're abroad, because there are, places on the internet where you can buy stuff. So it's great. Yes. Another thing that happened to me last week was that, somebody I know gave me a film called Primer. And the reason that he gave me this Primer film to watch, which happens to be an American film, and it's very good as well, is that it claims to be the opposite of dumbing down of Hollywood. So instead of putting Will Smith in it and making the sentences very short, like they do in, I don't know, Men in Black and, you know, all those other films, Independence Day, that kind of stuff, they've actually just not edited the content at all. So it's very difficult to watch. And I was doing the ironing at the time. Now, maybe, you know, it says that it's brain food. Do you know? I listened to a podcast called Brain Food as well this week, which because I really wanted to get into that whole use my time on my iPod listening to something interesting kind of thing. But, you know, brain food, it's not really what you need. You need kind of light entertainment. You know, that's where music comes in. That's where light-hearted podcasts come in. Cause brain food is like, oh, you know, when you eat spirulina, that seaweed algae stuff, you know, it tastes like crap, man. It really does. It may be good for you, but it's crap. And that's the same as this, this Primer thing. No, actually, that's the same as this brain food podcast that I listen to, because it's just too heavy, man. The Primer thing, was really good. It was about time travel. These guys who accidentally invent a time machine, and then they, because of the laws of causality, they bump into each other and have to kill themselves. Oh, it's, have a look, yeah? But don't do the ironing when you're doing it, basically. You need to sit down, strong coffee, and actually have a notepad and pen next to you as well, just to take notes so you can see what if you've understood it or not. So so the dumbing down thing, yeah. What else have I done? Oh, yeah, my wife was doing her hair and was looking out at the front of the house, and then she saw this little animal scurrying up the road, and then it jumped into a drain, basically, which was full of water. So the whole family, me, the kids, the wife, we all rushed out, and it was a little vole. No, not a vole, a mole. You know, those little mole things that live underground with little red noses and stuff like that. It had basically committed suicide. It was running up the middle of the road, and then it jumped into this drain, and then it was just lying there on its back, swimming around. I don't know, do pets commit suicide? Is that something? Maybe that's something I'll investigate. Have a read about a book. Anyway, that's enough of my blog just now. Catch you later. I don't know whether I should be blogging on this podcast. I'm not sure whether it's something fit for Hans Island Podcasts. Anyway, sign the guest book on www.freewebs.com/Hans Island and give me an opinion. Maybe it's crap and I shouldn't do it, or maybe it's worthwhile and interesting. Anyway, now, the two interesting bits of information are as follows. In true Hans Island fashion, I only have half the facts, and I'm not breaking the rules this time by actually investigating a wee bit more on the subject of this Joe Cell thing. There's a link on the website from Tesla Tech talking about Peter Stevens from Australia, who was due to give a 5-hour seminar stroke demonstration of how the Joe Cell works, and indeed, once and for all, that about 40 cars in the world are actually running on this thing forever, for free, and without emitting any noxious gases. Now, the Joe Cell, like I said a couple of podcasts ago, is a bucket of water with a magic wand, and you start it running, and then it kind of works. Anyway, if you read a little further in all the links, this Joe Cell has been around for a number of years now, and it would appear that every time someone says, "I've got a working Joe Cell," some people, mysterious people that is, with dark sunglasses turn up and somehow persuade them to go away and not talk about a Joe Cell ever again. Very suspicious, and stuff probably more fit for an episode of The X-Files. Anyway, Peter Stevens, this guy from Australia, is now not going to do his thing in Utah this month, and there is no explanation as to why. Now, I'm just wondering what makes an intelligent man make such a claim and then retract it afterwards. I mean, he hasn't stated the fact that he was lying or can't prove that this thing works. He's simply just not going to verify his claim and seems now to have gone completely silent. Very spooky.
I like podcasting because it makes me smile. So disregard the thought police and keep the internet free.
The other piece of interesting stuff I found is about the whole orgone energy thing. Is it orgone or orgone or organ? I don't know. Anyway, Wilhelm Reich is the man who in the 50s talked a lot about there being some mystical force. You know, just like in Star Wars, there is the Force. Use the Force, Luke. And like T.H. Moray and Hans Kohler and heaps of other people, including Tesla the superhero, they've been saying this for years. Energy is not produced, it is simply channeled, it's already there. So with the advent of solid-state transistors and all that kind of stuff, the whole analog science of vacuum tubes and all that kind of really, really groovy stuff has been taken over by people talking about maths and quantum theory and stuff, and I don't think any new scientists know what they're talking about, since the tools they use are all governed by the laws of thermal dynamics. And by that I mean you'll always get less energy out than you put in. Well, you know, that's a matter of how you look at it. If you say that the energy is already there and doesn't actually come out of a system, then that's a pile of dog poo, isn't it? Anyway, I'm sure people are screaming and jumping up and down now with their iPods falling out of their ears saying, "Robert, you're talking crap." Anyway, back to the interesting thing I found out. Anyway, all Wilhelm Reich's research was banned from publication by the US government, and Wilhelm Reich died in jail in 1957, and he wrote in his will that 50 years on, his research could be released, that he would basically release the proof that what he was talking about was true. So next year, in 2007, we'll probably not see all his research because it will have been stolen or mysteriously gotten lost, etc. You know, you can just hear Scully and Mulder walking around on this, can't you? But the injunctions placed on the material in the 50s no longer applies. So no doubt the men in black are already breaking into the lawyer's office where these things are kept and destroying them, or altering them, so it will look like he was just another fruitcake. Spooky stuff. I hope to go a bit more into the whole Tesla story, because that's kind of similar over the coming weeks. But please tell me if this is all too weird, too geeky, too complicated, or maybe just completely uninteresting.
Speaking as a postman, I've been annoyed for some time about the level of rude animals. And myself and some colleagues have started going around in teams now. And try to preempt the trouble by waking up the dogs and indeed trying to intimidate them a wee bit before we actually get around to delivering some mail. And in fact, delivering mail means actually handing it to the dog. This is to hand the responsibility back to the dog owners. I think it's a great idea. Has anyone got any objections? I'm anonymous, by the way.
Where did that come from? Postmen. Yes, right. Anyway, a new brilliant piece of protest campaigning type Jesper Rasmussen deal has restarted, this time in London, which is in England, which is in the United Kingdom, which is in Europe. You know, depending on where you are in the world, you might not know these things. So London, England, UK, Europe kind of thing. It aims at targeting 4x4 vehicles, or SUVs, sport utility vehicles, in cities. Now, the aim of the campaign is quite simply to get everyone, that means you and me and anybody else on the street, to stare, and I mean stare, in complete disbelief and utter disgust at people who drive 4x4 vehicles through cities, taking up space and burning fossil fuel as if they were from Texas. Now, this is an old concept, but it looks as though this crowd might now have gotten some backing from local government. Good for them. Searching a bit on the internet, as you do, I found that a similar thing had been tried, and indeed on nosuv.org there is a page called Lame Excuses. And I think it was quite funny. There's basically a lot of excuses. Like if somebody says to you, well, I need a four-wheel drive thing because I go four-wheel driving in the countryside. And the answer is, cars make a big enough mess of our cities. Why would you want to infest our wilderness and beaches too? Find another way to use your time. And another one was, well, I need one because I tow a jet ski. And the answer to that is, stop fucking up our waterways with dirty two-stroke engines. Or, I'm rich and need to show off to my neighbours. And the answer is, buy a solid gold toilet or see a priest. I like that. I think that's very positive. Now, I'm not saying that everyone who has a 4x4 vehicle, SUV type thing, is an evil, ignorant airhead. In fact, in the countryside where I live, 4x4s are really quite useful for towing trailers, for getting up mountains, for getting down mountains, for driving in deep snow. You know, they serve a purpose, basically, and sometimes the weather is really atrocious. But I do think that if you choose to live with millions of other people, like London or Munich or Paris or Sydney or wherever, that's your choice, right? And going and buying a 4x4 is probably the most antisocial and stupid thing you can drive around in, and people who do that should be ashamed of themselves. So message is clear: if you don't want your beach house under 7 meters of water, then don't drive an SUV if you live in the city. Duh.
G8 Summit, V8 engine. It is all the same. It boils down to the same thing, burning oil. Hans Island will become a tropical paradise, and the Bermuda's jet set will open the first Gap store there.
So this podcast is actually drawing out. It's getting rather long, I think. It's time for me to stop. As you will no doubt have noticed, there's been no Jesper Rasmussen at all this time, nor has there been any quickfire round or anything else. So I apologise for that. No, I'm not going to apologise. I've been busy, and that's the way it is. So stay in contact, please. I was actually thinking the other day that, you know, the jingle for Hans Island podcast starts off by saying, "We don't give a toss about Britney, Whitney or Shitney." It was very applicable last year, but I think that I should really get a new one and possibly talk about Paris Hilton instead, because she is the absolute epitome of everything that's wrong on the planet. So I'm trying to think about we don't give a shit about Paris Hilton. That doesn't really rhyme, does it? So any suggestions, please give me an email on handsisland@lycos.co.uk or leave a message on the guest book on the website, or just do the audio thing, please. Please just click on the button, plug your microphone in, do the stuff. It's fantastically funny. And so that's that. So this has been a great podcast. You've been a great listener in the future, obviously, or in the past, maybe. I don't know where you're listening. Maybe this is getting broadcast somewhere. Ooh. Or maybe this is being listened to in about 20 years. This is 2006. So anyway, I didn't even get to do the whole time travel thing this podcast, did I? So anyway, well, I'll have to do that next time. Or maybe I did do it this time, but it's actually going to get broadcast next time. Who knows? Or maybe I did it next time, but I just forgot to include it this time. Deary me. So, anyway, this has been Hans Island Podcast number 26. Tschüss, ciao, sayonara, bis später, bis sieht's, hi hi, tak for kauf.
Here are the credits after this Hans Island podcast.
Thanks everyone for contributing. That includes Calpomat. Visit us at www.freeweb.com/Hans Island. Alternative email at hansisland@lycos.co.uk. My name's Robert, no pun intended, and thanks for contributing. This has all been fictional, and no harm has been intended to happen to anyone. Thank you, bye-bye.